see what the Lord has done. What we've waited for has come to pass. Now, we waited about a year ago. We started to talk about it, that we were going to, by the grace of God, have this celebration this July. And lo and behold, it has come to pass. Wow. And we are so thankful this morning. We welcome every one of you into this room. I want to dedicate today as a Thanksgiving room. And I know many of our members may be tired, or some may be traveling back. But if you don't see anyone here, help us ping them. Maybe they just lost track of time. I want them to be a part of this Thanksgiving as well. So we thank everybody that was a part of this celebration. We posted the link. That's the full length video to our event. Thank you, Brother Kolako. You worked so tirelessly to get that out. It's on YouTube now. You can check it out and enjoy it. And I believe you can play it again and again and enjoy yourself. And we want to thank the Lord God Almighty for what he did. We were celebrating, in case for some reason, don't know what all the fuss is about. We were celebrating 70 years of my life and 50 years in ministry. And to put the icing on the cake, 48 years in our marriage. So, you know, July 22nd was my real birthday. But we chose to celebrate it the following Saturday. This date was picked about a year ago. We just looked at the calendar. Say, well, what's the Saturday that's immediately following that? It was the 27th. Say, well, there you have it. So the 27th was the main event. And yesterday was a Thanksgiving service following that, and a reception for our Walking with God family. It was powerful. You know, and don't take my word for it. Ask anyone who was there. If you were there yesterday in that reception especially, and you thought it was powerful, the presence of God was powerfully there. Let me see you put up the fire symbol here. I think there was a fire visitation yesterday. I mean, it was incredible. The Lord was just there. My goodness. You know, and people thought they came for a party. It turned out into an old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting. My goodness. It was so powerful. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We want to thank the Lord. And I chose this title today. I've done this a lesson like this before, once in the church. And once here, quite some time back, but you will get to it in just a moment. I am going to pray again, and then we'll get started. We'll read through a popular story. I'll bring this viewpoint out. Praise the Lord. Father, I want to thank you, Lord. It's just been an amazing time this past weekend in the celebrations. Thank you for safe travels for all our people. Despite some delays here and there, they all got here safely. We all had a good time. And we just want to give you honor and praise. Only the Lord could preserve our lives for this past, my life especially, for this past 70 and 50 of those years in the ministry. I just want to give you glory and honor, but we know it's not over yet. In fact, the Lord has been telling us and showing us you know, there is a greater opportunity coming to do even more for the Lord. Today, we want to just give you praise and glory and thank you and return all the honor to you. And I say the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine even in our hearts this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody. The story I want to talk about today, when I shared this message a couple years ago at the church and about a year or so ago, on this platform, I called it the Wilderness of Tekoa and the Valley of Berakah. I'm going to talk about the Valley of Berakah part. But this story is found in 2 Chronicles 20, one of our famous stories that we've alluded to multiple times in this room. And the element that we want to bring out, and as you know the story, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah at the time, was faced with a tremendous challenge. I mean, he had three countries actually, and their armies that came up against them to invade them. And that was the, children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And they all come up against the inhabitants of Judah at the time. And so, you know, they were completely outnumbered, and Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, but he did know how to turn to the Lord. He turned to the Lord. See? And he told the Lord, he said, look, these people, when we pass through their lands, you would not let us destroy them at the time, for whatever reason, best known to you. But see how they repay us now. We could have destroyed them then, but you didn't let us destroy them. And now they've come to dispossess us from the inheritance of the Lord. Will thou, God, O Lord, not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither do we know what to do. But listen to this. This is the key to the victory that he had. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. It's something that Jehoshaphat said in this prayer that is key to everything. We must learn to do this ourselves as well. O God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. So first he acknowledged this problem. And he acknowledged his inability or inadequacy to overcome the situation on his own. He even acknowledged the fact that he didn't even know how to go about it. Several things he said in that one short sentence. But then, here is the great secret. But our eyes are upon you. Now, that's the secret, you know, of every, to pull out the victory in every situation, particularly those that may seem overwhelming. We don't know what to do, you know, and we don't even know how to proceed. We have no knowledge or strength of our own against that situation. But he said, but our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. When you set your eyes upon the Lord and look to him for his salvation, he will come and he will help. Our God will come and he will save us. Praise the Lord. So that was his prayer. That was his posture too. That look, we may not be able to go up against this great company. We don't even know what to do, how to fight them, but our eyes are upon you. And of course, there was a man called Jehaziel, a son of Zechariah and son of Benaniah, we're told. And he was a Levite of the sons of Asaph, you know, they were the Asaph singing company and singing family. And so the Spirit of God came upon the man in the midst of the congregation while they were gathered together praying and saying, Lord, help us. And the Lord spoke by this man and said, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Well, let's put it a different way too. You know, for every situation that we're facing today, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of whatever may have come up against you. For the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. You see, the Lord is with you. He said, don't be afraid, O Judah and Jerusalem. Stand ye still, he said. Ye shall not even need to be fighting in this battle. He said, the Lord will fight for you. And you will see the salvation of the Lord. Ha! And then he told them, don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. But tomorrow, go out against them. And the Lord, he will be with you. Praise the Lord. And I've often said that it's an amazing thing when the Lord gives you a word of victory and a promise of what he's coming to do, but he puts it out there for tomorrow rather than today or a little later on, because he gives you an opportunity to do something about it today. Well, what Jehoshaphat chose to do was to bow his head and his face to the ground, along with Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They fell down before the Lord and they worshipped because they heard the promise of victory and the promise of the Lord fighting for them. So, has the Lord given you a promise? Either what you found in the scriptures concerning some situation that you are dealing with, or what the Holy Spirit spoke point blank to you, whatever it is, what are you going to do about it? Well, it is the time to worship. When you hear the word of encouragement from the Lord, Jehoshaphat, he led the charge. He worshipped and commanded all of Israel, all of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They worshipped too, and so forth. And then he even consulted among the people. He found the best singers, those who knew how to, who were skilled with the tambourines and the instruments of music and so forth. You know, and he said, he chose them. He said, look, you're going to praise the beauty of holiness. You're going out before the army. Well, the man was, had some faith. How do you put singers in the front when the skilled people are in the back? Well, because he trusted in the Lord, his God. He trusted that the Lord said, you will not need to fight. Well, so if I don't need to fight, then let's say soldiers go in the back. But there's something I always need to do, and that's to praise the Lord. So he put all the singers that knew how to make the praise of God glorious. He put them in the front. So, and they went out in the beauty of holiness and to say, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. He also told the people, he said, look, remember the word of the Lord, which he has spoken to you. You know, yesterday, how that he will fight for us. So he said, we shall stand still and we shall see his salvation. When you believe the Lord, he told them, you will be established. When you believe also his prophets, you will prosper, he told them. And they went out. And the Lord told them, go out against them in the wilderness of Tekoa. So that was the strategy that the Lord gave them. So the wilderness of Tekoa was a place where the Lord fought for them. And they were in the battle array, but they really were not fighting. They were just singing and praising the Lord. And the Lord set ambushments against all their enemies. You know, there were three of them, children of Ammon and Moab. They stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of doing that, then they turned against, you know, one another and helped to destroy one another. So the three companies that had gathered up go gather together to go up against Jerusalem and Judah and Jehoshaphat and his people, they actually ended up fighting themselves. The Lord put a delusion upon them. They thought they were fighting Judah and they were fighting Jerusalem. And the Lord began, for whatever reason, and perhaps even he put, you know, some hatred and some things in their hearts, and they began to fight and kill each other. And when they finished, two of them ganged up, killed the first company, overpowered them, then they turned against each other, overpowered, you know, they all slew themselves, you know. Meanwhile, Judah continued to praise the Lord. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came, he saw that there were, whole place was full of dead bodies. And they found among them in abundance both of riches, we're told, with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves and carried them away. And they went 3 days, ladies and gentlemen, 3 days, according to verse 25. They went 3 days in gathering the spoil because it was so much. Now, they got the victory. But here is what they did. And this is where our lesson is today. Now, we have been talking about our forthcoming celebration for a whole year. And we went 2 days, you know, in the celebration. Well, actually, it was a lot more than that because, you know, preparation and so forth. But let's just stick to the celebration for a minute. We went 2 days in celebrating all the things we prayed about. The Lord did it for us. There should be no violence in the land. There should be no trouble. There should be quietness so we can go out and enjoy it. We prayed, you know, that the Lord should help us because the weather in Arizona at that time, this time of the year, generally it could be the monsoon season when it rains a lot and becomes very muggy and humid. We prayed against that. We actually prayed that the temperatures could be lower. And it was. It didn't seem lower to our friends who came from out of town. But I guarantee you, we could have had 122 degrees. We did not. You know, so, you know, and the Lord gave us, you know, well, most of the time indoors. It was just getting from their car, their house to the car, and so on and so forth. You know, and the Lord just gave us a beautiful time. We had it on Saturday, and we came back for, you know, more testimonies and celebrations on Sunday, and it was such powerful. But here's what Jehoshaphat did. You know, and this is what people fail to do many times. You know, when they go through the wilderness, their wilderness of Tekoa, where the battle was fought, do they remember, you know, to come into the valley of Berakah for praise? But this is exactly what Jehoshaphat did. On the fourth day, after they spent 3 days gathering the spoil, on the fourth day in verse 26, the Bible says, and on that fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Praise God. Therefore, the name of the place was called Berakah until this day. You know, so after the victory and after all the great things that the Lord did for us this weekend, we are now assembling ourselves in this place this morning to give praise to the Lord. Before we go back to our regular lessons and series, Barakah is a Hebrew word, we are told, that translates to blessing. It could be spelled different ways, you know, but it means blessing. So they came to bless the name of the Lord. So you could call it the Valley of Blessings. That's what the Valley of Berakah means. And, you know, it was named like that by Jehoshaphat and company after the victory over all these people that the Lord gave them. You know, so that's what we want to do here today. The Lord had done tremendous, and don't you ever forget it. After the Lord gives you victory in the wilderness of Tekoa, will you come back to your valley of Barakah to praise the Lord? Well, we are here this morning. The ones who you blessed this weekend have come back to praise the Lord. Yes, Lord, we have come back to praise the Lord. Jesus even told a lesson, you know, that he told us in the scriptures. Were there not 10 lepers cleansed? According to Luke chapter 17, you know, we read in verses 17 to 19. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And you know the story. Jesus met 10 lepers in the way. And, he had mercy upon them. And he gave them instruction what to do. There's always instruction when the Lord's going to do these things. It's like tomorrow you go out and meet them in the valley. In the wilderness of Tekoa. In this case, you go and show yourselves to the priest or whatever, you know. So, you know, these people, they came, you know, and as he was passing through, you know, we're told that he saw, let's just read the story, you know, in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass as he came to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. You know, lepers were always kind of outcasts. They couldn't mingle with the people and so forth because of the disease they had. You know, and they lifted up their voices when they saw Jesus. They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You know, and I often love in the scriptures all these stories, whether it is Bartimaeus, whether it is 2 blind men, whether it is 10 lepers. You know, any time that anyone called upon the name of the Lord and asked for his mercy, whether it is the Syrophoenician woman, say, "Have mercy upon my daughter," whether it is, you know, someone else that comes and say, "My son is grievously ill, have mercy upon them," or "My servant," or this, and as long as they called upon the mercy of the Lord. That's a prayer that the Lord, I've never seen it anywhere where that prayer was ever turned back or turned aside, or God turned a deaf ear to such a prayer for his mercy. Because the Bible says, "For his mercy endureth forever." Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy. You know, God, he asked Moses to construct, you know, the ark, and told him so many different things. How to build this, how to build that. He gave them measurement. He gave the symbolism of so much, you know, of what they needed to do. In Exodus 25, gave a lot of things. You do this, overlay this with gold, build this one, the outer tabernacle, the inner one, the cherubims, the this, the that, you know, and so on and so forth, you know. But at the end of it all, when you trace down the journey of the tabernacle from the profane place, which is where the Gentiles were, to the outer court, you know, that was sealed by 3 tribes on the east, 3 tribes on the west, 3 tribes on the north, 3 tribes on the south. And the children of Israel come into the outer court. The priests can go into the, you know, first tabernacle, and the first of all, only the high priest could go into that. But after all of that, you know, the Lord told Moses in Exodus 25 and verse 21, "And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark." That's right. And we know the symbolism of the ark. I mean, all the things that are inside and so forth, you know. That's not my lesson today. I'm not going too deep into that. But the point I want to bring out is, you know, with all that symbolism and so on and so forth, the Lord said, put the mercy seat above, upon the ark. Even when the ark represented the presence of God, it had many things inside of it that represented tremendous things for us today. And he said, and there I will meet with you. The Lord himself is above the mercy seat, but the mercy seat is the first touch of him with us. He said, I myself will be above the mercy seat, and the mercy seat itself will be above the ark, and so on and so forth. So we see the highest, you know, indication or point, the highest point in his attributes is his mercy. That's right. You know, because that's the thing that was highest. He said, put it above everything else. Huh. So I've always known that, look, if you can call upon the mercy of the Lord, it doesn't matter the situation. A lot of people that sinned in the Bible that did not call upon the mercy of the Lord. And well, it didn't turn out well for them. But those that did, the Lord may punish them, but the punishment will not be eternal. It will be for a moment and for a season. And he'll be angry or so with them, but because they call upon his mercy, then they will receive grace and mercy. God will grant it to them. He will grant them even repentance, you know, godly repentance. And David, he repented. God punished him, you know, but, you know, the Lord, once he took care of that, that's it, done. Adam did not repent. Neither did Eve. All we found was they blamed somebody else, you know. And look at what happened to them. They were driven from the presence of the Lord. They could have repented. They did not. There's no lesson. There's nothing that tells us that they repented. The young king in First Kings 13, I mean the young prophet, that did the bidding of the Lord, but then, you know, got deceived by an older prophet to do what the Lord had told him not to do. He said, don't stop, don't turn aside, don't eat, don't drink. When you finish prophesying against the altar, you know, just go back and don't visit anybody and so on. The older prophet deceived him, and the same older prophet brought the word of the Lord against him. But there is no record that he repented, the young prophet. He just took the punishment like that. And of course, the lion did meet him and slew him. You know, so many, many people, you know, who don't repent, call upon the mercy of the Lord, they get destroyed. We see the story of Nineveh in Jonah chapter 4. When they heard finally the preaching of Jonah, they repented, put ashes on their head, and called upon the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord turned back his fury and his anger. A whole city at that time was saved. We see in 1 Kings 21, when Ahab heard the very harsh words that Elijah pronounced against him, said, the Lord will cut off from your posterity every man that pisseth against the wall. There will be no sons left for you to sit upon your throne. You know, dogs will eat, you know, and, you know, lick the blood of Jezebel in this place that she killed, you know, and so forth, in the valley of Jezreel. Talked about many things. And they killed Naboth and took his vineyard and all that. And the Bible said the man, repented. You know, I mean, he was sorrowful. He put ashes on his head and he walked softly. And the Lord even told Elijah, see, look at this wicked man of whom there was said that there was no one as wicked as him. You know, among all the kings of Israel, whom his wife Jezebel spurred on to do even greater evil. As if his own evil was not enough, his wife added to it. But when he heard the pronunciation, he put ashes on his head and walked on. I believe he might have called on the mercy of the Lord. You know, because the Bible says that God said, well, I'm going to kick the can down the road, so to speak. I'm going to push this thing down that we've said, and because he humbled himself before me, and so on. So every time that we call upon the mercy of the Lord, you can read that story, by the way, in 1 Kings chapter 21. You can read what the Lord said in verses 27 to the end, 27 to 29. When Ahab heard the words I will pronounce against him, he put sackcloth upon his flesh. He fasted, you know. David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. And I believe when he fasted and walked softly, you know, perhaps he was crying on the mercy of the Lord. But the Lord said, I, you know, do all these things. And he fasted and prayed and so went softly. And the Lord said, wow. You know, the Lord told Elijah, look at this Ahab, this wicked king, how he humbled himself before me. Now, because he humbled himself before me, the Lord said, I will not bring the evil in his days. So these lepers, back to our story, in Luke 17, they called upon the mercy of the Lord. And anytime, ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you this, and the scripture guarantees it too, based on all the stories we've seen, anytime that you can call on the mercy of the Lord, you know, even when your faith is failing, when you have tremendous faith, I mean, you don't need to weep, yell, and scream and so forth. Just use your faith. Command the thing Jesus said. Speak to the mountain and it will move if you have the faith. But when even your faith doesn't work, the mercy of the Lord always works. Ladies and gentlemen, I have proven it time and time again in my life. I'm someone by the grace of God, I was graced and granted faith from a young man. I had it. I've always had it. I knew how to use it. But there are times when it wasn't my faith. Just the mercy of the Lord. I believe God for anything. But sometimes even that didn't work. I turned to the mercy of the Lord. That never fails. Glory to God. The mercy of God never fails. And so these people, 10 lepers, they asked for his mercy. And Jesus had mercy on them. He gave them instruction. You just go, you know. The lepers, the only way they could be admitted back into common society, the priests had to certify them that they are now clean. So that was their law. You had to go and show yourself to the priest and he can certify you that you're clean. And they were not clean. But Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. You know, because that's the only way you can be certified that you're clean. And Jesus already knew what he was doing, you know. And then that's what they did. When the leprosy was cured or healed of them, they had to go show themselves to the priest. The priest would certify them and they are admitted into common society. Otherwise, they are outcasts. And so as they went to show themselves, you know, prophetically speaking, there's a lesson there as well. You know, act out your faith. You don't go to the priest until you are healed. It's when you are healed, you go show yourself to the priest and the priest will certify you. That they were acting out their faith while they were still lepers. They were going to the priest just like Jesus said. And so, you know, sometimes we got to act out our faith. There's many lessons in everything we read in the Bible. But the story here today is that these people, as they went, they actually were cleansed. They were cleansed. And they had new skin and flesh returning to their body. Come, just clean like that. It's like, oh my goodness. They saw they were clean. Now Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And it has came to pass. They were cleansed. And as soon as they saw that they were cleansed, one of them, I don't know if the other 9 even made it to the priest or anything. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, you know, loud voice, he glorified God. You know, remember, they cried unto Jesus, Master, they lifted up their voice. Have mercy on us. You know, it's an amazing thing that people always cry with passion to the Lord when they are in distress. But we do not, with the same passion, bring glory to God after the distress is removed. That's why we're doing this room today. For days, we call upon the Lord. For months, the Lord to give us this great celebration this weekend, and he did. And for 2 straight days and 3 events that we did in those 2 straight days, We did the main event. We did the Thanksgiving. Then we did a reception just for walking with God. Powerful stuff that the Lord did yesterday. And now we come back to give glory to God. This is our valley of blessing to the Lord now. Valley of Berakah. Why they are not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? Jesus said, there be not found those that return to give glory to God except this man, a Samaritan. He was the only one. The others did not return. And then the Lord said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Praise God. You know, he was made whole, not just cleansed from his leprosy, but made whole of everything that he had. Praise God. Now, we are returning today, the Valley of Berakah. We don't want to be like the 9 who did not return. And God does great things for you as you were praying. Then remember, when you're rejoicing and celebrating, do like Jehoshaphat. After the gathering of the spoil, and after, after all the victory and so forth, immediately he went and gave glory to God in the Valley of Berakah. So that's our lesson today, and that's, we want to enact that. You know, I want to invite you to give glory and praise to Almighty God on my behalf and my family because of great things he did for us this past weekend. Many of our brethren, amazing stuff. They traveled, they came, it was just overwhelming. And I want to take this opportunity not only to thank the Lord God Almighty and praise him, praise him who all whose works are done in glory and majesty. The Lord honored us and glorified us. I mean, you know, my goodness, you know, I've sent these video links to people to see, and we posted it on top of the room. And thank you for watching. We want you to watch. And I sent it out. My elder sister, I was reading her message, just actually listened to it, WhatsApp, voicemail. She said, oh my goodness, the glory of God was just so glorious. Said, my good, she just went on and on. Because she said, I sat down and watched every minute of it. You know, she, you know, she's in Nigeria and all of that. And, you know, she said she watched it. And she was so, she said, never seen glory. You know, so we thank God. It was glorious. The Lord beautified it with his presence and his, you know, and it was just so calm. We were rejoicing. We were jubilating. We were dancing. We were celebrating. We had a lot of fun. And everybody that I talked to, just all our people here on this, you know, wonderful family that came, I said, are you having fun? They said, oh my goodness, I'm glad I came. And we were just having fun and on and on and on, you know. And I'll let some of them who are here, you know, tell it with their own mouth in a bit when we do the shares. But I want to just call out this time, you know, of thanksgiving and praise. And those of you that came, we thank you. My wife, myself, or my children were so, so thankful. And not only those that came, those who are on the ground, our Walking with God Arizona folks, they were just amazing. They put together, they were the ones that put together, you know, I mean, it was my idea from the beginning, but they helped to execute it. I wanted to have this, I called it meet and greet, you know, just have a session with all those Walking with God, just get to know you better and so forth. And when we were first thinking about this in a year ago, I thought I would just have that meet and greet session in my house, you know. But then, you know, the more we talked about it, the more we realized that, you know, we really needed, you know, more spacious setting and all of that. And we thought about other reasons too, why we should, you know, have it, you know, elsewhere and just be more. And yesterday, to the glory of God, we were able to use the banquet hall of the church. And just for, you know, a private reception for the Walking with God folks, both those who came from out of town and those who are local, and, you know, whether they are part of our GMI church family or not, everybody had a chance to come together and had a, just an amazing, amazing time. You know, so we want to thank you. I want to thank all the people that traveled. You know, they may or may not be here physically now. I'm sure they'll listen to it later on. My thanks go to all of them.